My brothers and sisters in Christ, may God's grace and peace dwell richly in your hearts this day in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. What's your story? Has anyone asked you that question before? Now, I don't want to bring up bad memories of a first date, but that's a question that comes up, right? It's not an uncommon question when you're meeting someone for the first time or you're spending some extended time getting to know someone better. You hear that question, what's your story? You know, we all have a unique story. And we all have, in the story of our lives, you know, these little stories that all come together to create this picture of who you are. And for many of us, one of those little stories is a story of faith. A story of conversion where God has made himself known and come into our life. A story of how our God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer of all things, has come and made himself known and called you to himself that you would have a living relationship with him. And we have those stories now as we have throughout history. And God's word is full of these type of stories of faith. And it's this type of story that we'll be making our kind of focus and emphasis in this new sermon series that we're calling My Story. As we look through the book of Acts and see how God speaks and works in the lives of his people. As he becomes part of their story. And ultimately, that's what it's all about, right? The scripture is, it all leads to this person and work of Jesus. The person and work of Jesus, who he is and what he has come to accomplish. And the purpose of all of that is to come and redeem us, his people, that we would have a living relationship with him. That he would be in our lives and be a part of our story just as we're a part of his story. And one thing that I hope will be clear, not just today as we dig into Acts chapter 2, but also in the following weeks as we look at more examples of God working in the stories of his people to bring them to saving faith in his son Jesus, is that each story is unique, but also each story is good. Now, when we talk about faith stories and conversion stories, the stories of our lives of faith, I think there's often, for many of us, a certain amount of unease or discomfort. I think there might be some expectations, right? That our story has to be fantastical and miraculous. And there's expectations that our story needs to be accompanied by much tears and overwhelming emotions. And that very well may be your story. And that's good. But many of us don't have stories like that. Many of us have stories that are much simpler, stories that may seem mundane at first hearing, but I want you to hear this. There are no boring stories. There are no wrong stories. There are only stories in which God has chosen to work in your life. Stories about how God chooses to bring saving faith into your story. And they're good. And so for many of us, that story begins long ago with faithful parents who dragged us to church week after week, who battled to bring us to Sunday school, who brought us to the waters of baptism before we could even walk, who battled to teach us the Christian faith as we grew up. And that might be your part of your story this morning. And I want you to know, that's awesome. That's what it looks like. This is this beautiful picture of God empowering and equipping his people through the vocation of parenting to bring his beloved children to saving faith in his son Jesus. But that might not be your story. Your story may have its own twists and turns along the way, but regardless, each story is unique and each story has value and is compelling because it's your story, because it's personal. It's about how God worked in your life. And personally, in my life, left to my own devices, left to our own devices, if we were left to write our own story on our own, there's no way that we would ever have come to saving faith in Jesus, to come to believe in and trust in Jesus. Luther writes about this in his third article of the Creed, in his explanation to the third article of the Creed. He says, "I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him." Because we are sinful. We are dead in our trespasses. There's no opportunity for life when we write our own story. We are dead in our trespasses. We are dead in our sin. Our lives are without hope. There is no way out, and there's nothing that we can do to change that. But as we see in Acts chapter 2 this morning, God does not leave us alone in our story. On that day of Pentecost, God pours out his Holy Spirit to bring life, where at first only death was possible. And so Luther goes on in his explanation to this third article. He says, "But the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel, enlightens us with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps us in the one true faith." This is most certainly true. God, by his Spirit, acts in our lives personally. And so each story may be a little different. You know why? Because we're all a little different. We all have different things in our lives that dictate where we're going to go, and we all react differently to God's grander story. There's different things about God's story that captivate us and our hearts differently. And so God works differently in our lives. Through the work of the Spirit, we enter into God's story. God's story of redemption, where he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies us in the one true faith. As we think about our story and its connection to this grand story that God is telling, it really is all about that one story. A story that God is telling, a story about his son Jesus. And as we look at our reading from Acts chapter 2, as I was reading through that and looking at Paul's sermon before these people in Jerusalem, I realized something. Peter isn't doing anything miraculous here. Peter, in this sermon, does something incredibly simple. He just tells that story. All Peter does is tell a story. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, Peter, before the gathered people in Jerusalem, tells a story of Jesus. He tells a story about this carpenter from Nazareth. And so he goes on to tell about this man who was attested to by God as one with power to perform mighty and miraculous things before the eyes of the people. And this very same Jesus, though he came from God, was killed by the hands of those very same people, beaten, mocked, scorned, crucified on a Roman cross. But the story doesn't end there. Peter goes on to say that we are his witnesses. We have seen him who has been risen from the dead. God, who has raised this same Jesus from the dead, we are his witnesses. We come to proclaim who he is, this Jesus who has rose from the dead to take up the throne of his father David before him. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And Peter wraps up this story that he's telling. And the people say, "What should we do?" "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." In hearing this short story, 3,000 people come to faith that day. Now it's worth mentioning that many of those people probably knew a little bit about the story of Jesus already. They probably knew some of the prophecies and the layers of history in the Old Testament that lead us to the coming of the Messiah. But it's undeniable that there is something about this story that is compelling. This story that brings 3,000 people to faith that day and has continued to impact the lives of people throughout culture and language and throughout time. What kind of story is so fundamentally moving to change so many lives? Now, if you're someone, like we talked about earlier, whose story is that mom and dad dragged you to church each and every week, and you have been at Sunday school every week your entire life, and let's face it, you probably can't even remember a time when you didn't know the story of Jesus. And perhaps you may have never really considered the life-altering nature of this story. But I want us to think about this for a moment. What makes the story of Jesus compelling? Really, the question for us this morning is, why are you a Christian? What does it for you? What is it about the story of Jesus that brings you to a place where you put your faith and your trust in this carpenter from Nazareth? Now, I had a close friend of mine ask me that very same question one day. He challenged me with that, and I was a little puzzled because the only answer I had in my brain was, well, I've never really thought about it before. And that might be where you're at this morning. I haven't really thought about it before. That's good. You know, I grew up believing in Jesus and trusting in who he was, but what is it about the story that really compels me to follow him? And so I spent a couple days pondering that question. And as I was thinking about it, I realized something. My answer might be different than your answer. The answer for what is it about the story of Jesus that captivates me and compels me to follow him might be different and probably is different than it is for you or for some of my friends or for my wife. In fact, it is. We've talked about it. We have different answers to this question. But that's good, right? And so I'm going to share with you kind of my own ponderings on this question. So as I pondered this question more, I realized that the thing that does it for me is this, that Jesus promises to restore all things back to his perfect creation. Jesus promises to restore and renew his creation. And here's why that's so important to me. I look at the world around me and I see a lot of hurt. I see disease and I see school shootings and I see divorce, and I see kids bullied at school, and that hurts me. Maybe I'm a sensitive soul, but that hurts me. And at the same time, I see all those things. I see this world around me that also seems to scream out and proclaim the wonders of a creator. And so in my heart, there's this tension of how do I make sense of this hurt and this beauty that seems to be fighting against each other in this world. And so in Jesus, I see this plan and this promise that God has, that in Jesus, there is a plan to redeem and restore all of creation. And so while now I'm hurting as this world groans for the coming of Christ to come back again, with Jesus, I see hope. Hope that is eternal. And that compels me to follow him. What does it for you? On your way home today, I want you to ask yourself or your friends or your family, whoever's with you today, that question. What is it about this story that speaks into your story? What is it about this story that compels you to follow Jesus, that captivates you in your heart? And it may be that you haven't really thought about it a whole lot or ever. Maybe you've given this a lot of thought and you have a really clear, concise answer. But I encourage you to ponder that this afternoon and share that with one another. Take some time to consider how God is speaking into your story through his story in the life of Jesus. Because on that day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 souls that were compelled by the story of Jesus. that heard this story and decided, I have to follow him. And we may not know what did it for them. We may not know much about their story, but their stories are no less beautiful and unique and personal, and they matter. They matter because God spoke into their lives by the Holy Spirit, that they too would be joined to this grand story that is salvation in Jesus Christ. The same is true for you, and the same is true for me. God has called you personally by the gospel to true faith in Jesus Christ. He's given you a story that you can not only be thankful for, but a story that I think we should be eager to share, because your story is a miracle. It's a beautiful miracle that God has called you out of the darkness and the death of your sin into the wonderful light and life of his son, Jesus. And so may God continue to speak into your stories, and may you be encouraged by the stories of those around you and the stories that have come before you, the stories of those people that God has called to himself, just as he has called you. Amen. We close our worship service now. We're going to hear a word of blessing and receive this blessing and benediction from our Lord and sing our closing song. So let's rise and receive.